Yo, what is up, everybody? It is I, DPX. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast, DPX Talks, for about an hour. I'm your host, DPX. I'm joined today by nobody. I was supposed to get somebody on, but I didn't. And I also kind of slacked on getting, like, topics. And then, like, but this past week, like, a lot of topics that I could talk about came up. So I decided I'm going to do it this week, but I slacked on getting a guest on this, this time, so I'm doing it by myself. And I think the reason why I haven't done too many episodes of this podcast this year is because, I didn't even notice this, until now, I guess I've just been less connected to news, you know, gaming news, movie news, TV news, all that stuff. I've just been less connected to all that than I normally am. So I paused it. I don't even really know what I was saying. I guess I was talking about, like, I haven't really been attached to or, like, following news. So, like, I'm always thinking, like, there's not enough to talk about for an episode. There always is. I'm just like if I do one of these once a month, there's definitely a week where there is enough to talk about, you know? So yeah, I will do my best to keep this show going, because this podcast is very inconsistent, you know? Like, it'll be monthly, like, one episode a month, and then all of a sudden, there's like 6 months without new episode, you know. But hey, this is episode 70. Look at that. Anyways, yeah, that's that. I also got a new webcam. If you're listening on the audio, if you're listening to the audio version, that won't matter. But if you're on YouTube, this is a new webcam. So yeah. Also, speaking of the audio version, I'm now, I don't know if I touched on this in the last episode. The last episode was the WrestleMania recap. So I might have touched on this, but I don't know if I did. I'm now on Spotify, I'm now on Apple Podcasts, I'm now on Amazon Music, I'm on iHeartRadio, I'm on Deezer, I'm on anywhere you get your podcasts, I should be on there. So, yeah, look at that. Anyways, we're going to get into this. Starting with the first topic, Mortal Kombat 1. Mortal Kombat 1 is an interesting case, you know, it was like a soft reboot of Mortal Kombat, and I actually really liked it when it came out. You know, I thought the game played well. I really liked the cameo system. The roster might have been the most stacked roster of the franchise, other than, I forget which one had, like, all the characters up to that point. You know, not Trilogy, like, the 3D one. I think it was Armageddon. I'm not, like, the most familiar. I love Mortal Kombat, but I'm not so familiar with, like, the 3D ones, you know? Like, that era of Mortal Kombat are a bunch of games that, like, I don't know much about, if I'm gonna be honest. But other than that, this is, like, the most stacked roster for a Mortal Kombat game. I really thought that. And the guest characters I thought were so cool. Like, I really thought Homelander, Omni-Man, and Peacemaker were such cool picks for Mortal Kombat, you know? And then even the three other, like, Mortal Kombat characters that they chose for DLC, I thought were really cool. excuse me. Now, I did notice that it was very predatory. You know, they, like, microtransactions and all that. The game was very monetized. I didn't like that very much. But they also released a story expansion with some new characters last year. You know, they had the Combat Reigns DLC, and they also added in, they brought back Sektor and, why am I forgetting the other one's name? Cyrax. What the hell is wrong with me? Sektor and Cyrax, and they also brought back Noob, and, they also introduced three new guest characters, the T-1000, Conan, and Ghostface. You know, still three really cool guest characters. It definitely does seem weird to, like, you know, the first three guest characters, there's, like, a theme, you know, like, violent comic book characters, and then for the next three guest characters. They're three very different characters, but still, I thought all that was cool. I did not play Combat Reigns or the DLC that came out last year, though. $50 for that, you know, when there's, like, it came out, I remember, during, like, a busy, like, time for new games. A bunch of new games were coming out. I think even, like, Street Fighter DLC came out at around then, and it was more affordable. I passed up on it. I said I'll play it later. Well, Mortal Kombat 1 has kind of dipped in quality. I haven't really played it recently, but it's official that the game will now be receiving no more updates, no new story content, no new characters, and that's a real shame, as we got an announcement of Mortal Kombat 1 Definitive Edition, which has all the DLC and all the characters and all that, telling you it's the end. This comes to us from IGN. The headline is, confirmed, Mortal Kombat 1 won't get any more DLC characters or story chapters as NetherRealm needs to shift focus to the next project. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But Warner Bros. Has informed what Mortal Kombat fans feared after the recent launch of the Definitive Edition. No new DLC characters or story chapters will be released for the game. Mortal Kombat 1 has sold 5 million copies, with the franchise now up to 100 million. Mortal Kombat 11 became... Okay, I'm just gonna... That's not important. In a tweet on the official Mortal Kombat social media account, Warner Bros. Acknowledged the disappointment the news will cause players. Quote, but our team at NetherRealm needs to shift focus to the next project in order to make it as great as we possibly can. Warner Bros. Failed to say what this new project is, but current speculation points to Injustice 3, a continuation of NetherRealm's DC fighting game series. Here's the full statement. We are hearing players' requests for continued game support of Mortal Kombat 1, and while we will continue to support Mortal Kombat 1 through balance adjustments and fixes, there will not be any additional DLC characters or story chapters released from this point on. We understand this will be disappointing for our fans, but our team at NetherRealm needs to shift focus to the next project in order to make it as great as we possibly can. And yeah, that's basically the gist of it. So, what went wrong? So, first of all, I don't know if you hear that noise in the back, but, first of all, they are moving on with Mortal Kombat 1, not because they need to shift focus to the next project. If the next project is Injustice, I'm telling you, Mortal Kombat is, like, NetherRealm's cash cow, you know? Mortal Kombat is NetherRealm's, like, baby. And if they're willing to end support for Mortal Kombat in order to work on Injustice, which I would... Look, I love Mortal Kombat. Honestly, like, I think I'd be more excited for Injustice 3 than I would be... Like, I honestly think this is a good trade, if I'm going to be honest. If we're getting Injustice 3 instead of more Mortal Kombat support... In a way, I kind of... Like, now that I say that out loud, I'm not entirely sure. You know? But I feel like we are due for Injustice 3. But regardless... Injustice hasn't sold that well. Like, it didn't, like, bomb or anything. But it's not, like, a big moneymaker. Even though it's got DC characters. To my understanding, it's not, like, the biggest, like, moneymaker in the world. You know? And definitely doesn't sell as much as Mortal Kombat does. So, it is a little odd to me that Warner Bros. Is like, okay, NetherRealm, stop all your, like, content support for Mortal Kombat, shift it over to Injustice. That does not seem right to me, you know? The second thing is, there was gonna be more content for this game. Like, there were more characters, more story content in development, like, more cameos in development, you know, and they pulled the plug on it. That doesn't scream, like, we need to move on to the next project. That screams, something went wrong with Mortal Kombat 1. Specifically, it did not sell out as well as they hoped. And also, Warner Bros. Is in a bit of a predicament right now. They had to stop with Mortal Kombat 1 and cut their losses. Which is unfortunate, because like I said, Mortal Kombat 1, like, it made my list of my favorite games of 2023. And, like, a lot of time, like, when I make a list of my favorite games of the year, years later, I think about that list, and I'm like, I would remove that. And maybe I wouldn't have Mortal Kombat 1 as high as it is now, you know, knowing what we know now. But I'd still have it on the list, because I still think it's a damn good game, but it's just... It wasn't handled the best after launch. And to see that, like, we know that a bunch of content was going to be in the game, but is just not going to be there. Like, that's definitely disappointing, you know? And I wonder what this next project is. It probably is Injustice 3. Because what else could it be? NetherRealm has only made two series, Mortal Kombat and Injustice. NetherRealm is what became of Midway, and Midway has made, there are other games that Midway made, sure, but, like, no, like, the only fighting game I can think of that would, like, would be, like, Primal Rage, and there's no way they're making a new Primal Rage game. Watch it be Primal Rage, that would be insane, but, like, I would be beyond excited for an Injustice 3. But I don't love the way we got to it, if it meant, like, killing off Mortal Kombat 1. And I know I said that's a fair trade, but like I said, after saying that out loud, I'm not sure if I actually agree with that. So yeah. Anyways, what do you guys think of all this? Anyways, as for other content, as for another topic, I have, like, a quick little topic. I don't know if I have much to say about this, but, Stellar Blade was a game that came out last year that I really liked. I really liked it because of the gameplay, and it had nothing to do with the main character. But, the main character does have a nice sword, you know. Anyways, I really liked it. It was a nice sleeper hit of last year, and it did pretty well. Shift Up, the developer, this was not their first game, but they made, like, South Korean mobile games or, like, browser games before this. This is, like, their first, like, actual game, you know what I mean? And it seemed to do very well, and now Shift Up have announced plans for a sequel. This comes to us from IGN. Stellar Blade is getting a fully-fledged sequel, developer Shift Up has confirmed. Now Korean company Shift Up, I skipped around a little bit, but... now Korean company Shift Up has confirmed a Stellar Blade sequel is on the way via a chart showing the company's future plans published as part of its latest financial results released today. Okay. As confirmed within a presentation slide detailing how Shift Up expects to expand its franchises going forward, a Stellar Blade sequel is listed as coming next among others that look set to be released before 2027. Before the sequel arrives, there's mention of a platform expansion for Stellar Blade. This likely just refers to the game's upcoming PC version, which is set to arrive on June 11th, okay? The development period before 2027 will also include the launch of Shift Up's mysterious Project Witches, a new multi-platform action RPG that's still yet to be fully revealed. Okay. So, it seems that the story that a lot of people ran with was that the Stellar Blade sequel is coming by 2027, or before 2027. Which is kind of crazy to think about, because that's in 2 years. And Stellar Blade came out last year. So that turnaround is just not likely at all, especially when you consider what games are like and what developing games are like now. Excuse me. So, yeah, that was definitely odd. But it seems like after reading that, it kind of puts it into perspective. It's not coming out before 2027. It comes out after the stuff that they have planned before 2027. Not much to say here. I'm interested to see what a sequel to Stellar Blade looks like, because Stellar Blade, like I said, is a great game, and there's definitely room for a sequel. I want to see how they improve upon the combat, because I thought the combat was great, and I don't really even have any issues with it. But I'm just willing to see how they will improve upon that. So yeah, not much to say here, but I was just wanted to mention that because it's actually a W. So yeah. The next topic we got is Street Fighter. Do you guys know that they're making a Street Fighter movie? I did know this, right? Like, they announced this, like, a couple years ago. But it's kind of been a thing that I've known about in the back of my mind. But I'll keep forgetting about it. Because very slowly are we finding out more and more. But we did find out some information this week. Apparently it's set to come out next year, which I don't think actually will, if they're just, because they got some actors in talks, excuse me, I'm sorry, they got some actors in talks to play certain characters, in the new Street Fighter movie, and there are four interesting names, two people I'm not familiar with, but two people I definitely am familiar with. This comes to us from IGN. I don't mean to just use IGN as a source today, but, you know, they are here, and I do just happen to click on them. So, live-action Street Fighter movie, here are the names that are in talks. Roman Reigns, like, from WWE. We got Jason Momoa, Noah Centineo, and Andrew Koji, all in talks to join the cast. Now, obviously, I'm familiar with Jason Momoa, and I'm also familiar with Roman Reigns. Not so familiar with the other two. Legendary Pictures' live-action Street Fighter movie is reportedly considering four big names as it kicks off the search for its cast. Actors Andrew Koji, who is in Bullet Train, Jason Momoa in Game of Thrones and Minecraft, Noah Centineo in Black Adam and To All the Boys I've Loved Before, and WWE star Roman Reigns are all in talks to star in the fighting game's film adaptation, according to Deadline. Although it's far from a confirmation that any one from the group will end up attached to the Street Fighter movie, if accurate, it's at least a sign that things are continuing to move in the right direction. Should Koji, Momoa, Centineo, and Reigns land their parts, there's no word yet on which members of Street Fighter's iconic roster they would portray. Plot, okay. So, yeah. So it doesn't seem like we know a whole lot. Excuse me. I will say, Jason Momoa is a big get for this, you know. He was already in a video game adaptation in Minecraft, but I'd say this is a pretty big get for a Street Fighter movie. I'm not entirely sure who he can play. I did hear rumors that he's in talks to play Blanka, which is interesting. Roman Reigns is the one that stands out to me, because he's not really, like, a Hollywood actor. I think he shot, like, a couple of movies, but his claim to fame is the WWE wrestler, you know. And he was a big draw for them. He made them a lot of money. He was their champion for 4 years straight, you know. So I think, and I actually do think there's a lot of crossover between fans of wrestling and fans of Street Fighter. I mean, look at me. I actually have a wrestling related topic later on. So I'd say Roman Reigns, getting him on, like, when it comes to trying to bring people to this movie, getting someone like Roman Reigns in the movie, I'd say is not a bad move. When you consider, like, you know, he's a big name in wrestling, I'm sure people outside of People who don't know wrestling probably have heard of Roman Reigns. And also, like I said, there's overlap between between wrestling fans and Street Fighter fans. Now, for people who are worried about his acting ability, like, yes, it's wrestling, it's a bit different, but there are times where he's acting, and he's really good. He's a really good actor. You know, when, like, in the context of wrestling, you know, it could be him being on the big screen is, and on a movie like this is big, it's a Street Fighter movie, you know? Like, Street Fighter's got a lot of name value. You know, the Street Fighter 6 right now is going crazy. They just had their their eighth DLC character, and they're probably not done. So Street Fighter is big right now. so this could be a breakout role for Roman Reigns. And if that doesn't work out for him, he'll still have WWE, you know? Then we got Noah Centineo and Andrew Koji. Alright, so I'm looking at Andrew Koji and Noah Centineo. Andrew Koji, probably Ryu. He's probably playing Ryu. And Noah Centineo is probably playing Ken. You know, he's not blonde, you know. He's got to dye his hair blonde. But other than that, I think you're good right there. The rumor is that Jason Momoa is in talks to play Blanca, and the rumor is that Roman Reigns is in talks to play Akuma. So, interesting right there, and I'm interested to see, like, the rest of the lineup. Like, who's gonna play Chun-Li? I think that's interesting. I did hear Anna Sawai from, she was in, Shogun. I still need to watch Shogun. From what I've seen from her from Shogun, I think that would be a good pick. Let's see, Bison, I think you gotta get someone for Bison. I don't think anything will beat, like, whoever plays Bison will ever beat Raul Julia when he goes, like, for you, it was the most important day of your life, but for me, it was Tuesday. Like, that is iconic, and it's such a great line. It's such a bad movie. You know, the original Street Fighter is, I do have a bit of a soft spot for that movie. That movie is very fun to watch, but it's not a good movie. Like, I look at it kind of in a way where it's, like, not even so bad it's good. It's just, like, a fun movie that's just not good. You know what I mean? Like, this is, like, it's a bad movie. But it's so much fun. I'm interested to see how the Street Fighter movie does. They do have an interesting cast that they're trying to put together. There's no word on, like, if any of these guys landed the roles, because they're in talks for the roles. And if they're in talks, that means that they're pretty far along. Like, if you're talking to, like, let's just say the rumors are true that Jason Momoa is going to be playing Blanca. If you're, like, at the point where you're talking to Jason Momoa about playing Blanca, at that point, you have, like, an idea of, like, how Blanca is gonna be used in the movie and what he's gonna be like, you know, if you want to cast someone like Jason Momoa. And, so, yeah, interesting lineup, you know. Roman Reigns is definitely, like, the one that stands out, because he's not really an actor, but he ain't a bad actor when he's forced to act on WWE, like, so yeah. What are your thoughts on all this, though? I got another topic related to a video game adaptation, a movie, a video game movie. This time, Elden Ring. Elden Ring is being adapted into a movie by. And it's gonna be from A24, so that's something. A24 are really good, and it's being directed by Alex Garland. This comes to us from none other than IGN. A live-action Elden Ring movie is in the works from Ex Machina and Civil War director Alex Garland. Bandai Namco and A24 announced Thursday. So, a film based on From Software and Bandai Namco's massive RPG hit is now confirmed to have the filmmaker attached not only as director, but its writer as well. Plot details, casting details, or release date for the movie have yet to be announced. George R.R. Martin, who helped create the original Elden Ring, is attached as a producer on the movie, as is Vince Gerardis. Okay. DNA's Peter Rice will also produce, along with Andrew MacDonald and Alan Reach from DNA. There's no word yet on how involved From Software or game director Hidetaka Miyazaki will be. Elden Ring should... Okay, just talking about the game Elden Ring. I don't think I have a whole lot to say here, because we don't know a whole lot. I will say, this... I'm starting to get a little... Like, I feel like I'm really starting to notice something here. Like, everyone wanted to make superhero movies, you know? Everyone wanted to make... I'd say even before... the MCU, you know? It's still kind of during that. But, like, everyone wanted to adapt, like... They wanted to be the one to adapt Spider-Man, to adapt X-Men, to adapt Batman, Superman. You know, people tried with Wonder Woman. And I feel like video games, like, a lot of people are trying to turn video games into movies or shows. Elden Ring's not a terrible pick, but it is just one game, you know? And I feel like, I mean, it was a very popular game. It's a game that's still popular. You know, it's getting a new spin-off, like, multiplayer game, like, really soon. And then it's getting, like, a definitive edition coming to the Switch 2 later this year. So that's big, and so Elden Ring's still a thing. I don't know, I don't know about an Elden Ring movie. Because Elden Ring, its story isn't really the strong suit. And if you're not aware, George R.R. Martin, you might have heard me mention George R.R. Martin, who is involved with the Elden Ring game, is... Yes, he's involved, but he helped write the lore. Because if you're gonna, like, dive into the lore in Elden Ring, you might have enough material to work with for a movie, right? Because the lore in Elden Ring is kind of crazy. And, yeah, George R.R. Martin did that. He helped with that. So, there you go. But if you're trying to adapt the story of Elden Ring into a game, I'm not quite sure if there's much to work with. Because, look, Elden Ring's great. It's not particularly... Like, I'm not particularly a Soulsborne guy. But at the same time, I did really like Elden Ring, you know? So, I'm not entirely against them doing an Elden Ring movie, you know, but at the same time, if you're adapting the story of Elden Ring, I'm not quite sure if that's the right move. Honestly, like, because there's so much lore in the game that isn't entirely, like, tapped into, and even the stuff that you do tap into about the lore, you kind of do it, like, on the side. You can do, like, a prequel movie, like, a movie that, like, explains the lore to the game and all that. And I think that's an interesting movie. But I'm starting to get a little worried about, like, all these studios looking at video games and trying to make them into movies. Because, like, there are some that are very questionable, you know, and I'll, like... Some studios aren't even hesitating to adapt a game into a movie. Like, right after, like, my current game of the year, Clair Obscur Expedition 33, right after that came out, it was announced that there are talks to adapt that into a movie. The game is, like, Expedition 33, that story's long. Like, you need to let that play out, you know? I don't know if, like, maybe do that in a show. I don't know if a movie is a great idea for that, for adapting that game, you know? But either way, that's beyond the point. They do have a good director in Alex Garland, you know, Ex Machina and Civil War. I heard Civil War was a bit divisive, but, either way, like, Alex Garland is, like, he's a director that is pretty well-liked. So, that's interesting that they got a name like him, and they do have a pretty good, lineup of producers, you know, even if George R. R. Martin isn't really gonna, like, do anything, he is attached to it as a producer, so that's something at least. But what do you guys think about an Elden Ring movie? Oh, and it's also A24, which I think gives it, like, some sort of, like, level of prestige, you know what I mean? What do you guys think? Next up, we got another topic. The Switch 2 comes out really soon. In fact, this will most likely be the last episode of the podcast that I do before the release of the Switch 2. Yeah, I just cracked my ankle. So, if you were wondering what that sound was. But yeah, kind of crazy to think that we're like, how many days is it? So, it comes out on June the 5th. Time recording, it's Sunday. May 25th comes out in like 10 days, right? I can't do math, but more than 10 days, I'm dumb. But anyways, rumors of a new Nintendo Direct. It's that time. A Direct will normally happen in June, you know, and normally this would be no different, that a Direct, is now rumored for June. The thing is, though, Switch 2 comes out in June. Okay, we'll read this. This comes to us from comicbook.com. Next Nintendo Direct reportedly happening very soon. Nintendo fans already have a lot to look forward to the next few weeks, and it seems like they're going to be even more. It seems like there's going to be even more to celebrate. If rumors are to be believed, a new Nintendo Direct will be happening in the very near future. According to Pedro Henrique Lippe, long name, sorry if I mispronounced that. Better known as the leaker PH Brazil, okay, fuck you for making me have to say the full name, okay? A Nintendo Direct will take place either during the week of the Nintendo Switch 2 or the week after. Unfortunately, the leaker did not offer any details about what will be shown. However, we probably have some idea what to expect based on what we already know. So yeah, blah blah blah. So, first of all, I cannot see them doing it the week of the Switch 2. That'll be crazy if they did that. Right? I could see them doing it, like, the week after, though. You know? Especially since the week the Switch 2 comes out, that's when, like, Summer Games Fest is, and that's when, like, then the Xbox Showcase, and so I just can't see them doing that. I can see them doing it the week after, though. And yeah, and I definitely do think we need another Direct for the Switch 2, because, like, we need to know, I feel like we need to know a bit more on Donkey Kong, but other than that, like, there's a whole bunch of, like, Switch 2 games that are, like, they don't have, like, a release date, that are still set to come out, like, Kirby Air Riders still needs a release date, Dragon Drive, don't really care too much about that game, but that also still needs a release date. There's Metroid Prime 4 needs a release date. Hyrule Warriors, and there's also Pokemon Legends ZA. All those need release dates. And I can see, like, Dragon Drive being August, Kirby Air Riders being in September, Metroid Prime being in October, and Legend ZA being in November and Hyrule Warriors being in December. That's what I can see. And as for other things they can announce, there's gotta be a new 3D Mario at some point, right? Don't know what else to say about it, really. But yeah, that's that. Next up is... we got a wrestling topic. So, you might know this, I'm a bit of a wrestling fan. If you don't believe me, which I don't know why you wouldn't believe me, but like, go look at what the last episode was. It was an entire recap of WrestleMania 41. And we got some news regarding next year's WrestleMania, as originally it was slated to be in New Orleans. But now they're swapping it. They're not doing it in New Orleans. And instead, this hasn't been outright confirmed yet, but it sounds like they're going back to Las Vegas, which is where it was this year. This comes to us from Bleacher Report, reading between the lines of WWE's rumored WrestleMania 42 location swap to Las Vegas. After an abrupt change of course, WrestleMania 42 could reportedly take place in Las Vegas, but will it ultimately affect WWE's soaring profitability in 2026? On Thursday, May 22nd, rumors emerged that New Orleans, LA, would no longer be the landing spot for the company's biggest event of the year, following a report from WrestleNomics. WWE eventually confirmed it with Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com and NOLA.com. And NOLA.com ran the official announcement later that day. Straight away, this seems similar to the circumstances that led to this year's venue, as Minneapolis, Minnesota, lost its bid in 2024. However, this is a bit different because WWE had seemingly finalized the deal with New Orleans and later canceled it with hopes to bring other events to the city. I'm gonna find a different article. So okay, I'm on CBS now. This talks more about like the move from New Orleans. WrestleMania 42 will no longer take place in New Orleans. WWE is moving its biggest annual pay-per-view to a different city and will instead bring Money in the Bank to New Orleans in 2026. WWE Chief Content Officer Paul Levesque announced on Friday. WrestleNomics' Brandon Thurston first reported the news, citing the Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. The nonprofit organization claimed WrestleMania would return to New Orleans in the future. A new location was not revealed, nor was a reason for the change. And here's a quote. The Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation and New Orleans and Company are working closely with our friends at TKO to expand our long-standing partnership, said the Greater New Orleans Sport... okay, I'm not going to read the full title, but... which will include UFC 318 on July 19th, 2025, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So that's how they're changing... they're not going to New Orleans. Instead, they're, like, it's all but confirmed that they're going back to Vegas. Now, I have opinions on this. There have been times where, like, the same event has been held at the, in the same city, in the same arena, 2 years in a row. That's happened with WrestleMania before. So people acting like, there are people acting like this is death, you know? People are saying like, oh, TKO is killing WWE because of this. And it's like, you guys need to calm down. This isn't the end of the world. They held a big event in a city, in a stadium that's in a big city, and they're doing the exact same thing again next year, in the exact same stadium, in the exact same city. it's not the end of the world. And they're not going to be doing this every WrestleMania. Even if they also said they want to host WrestleMania, they want Las Vegas to host WrestleMania more often. More often does not mean all the time. Right. This is, like, I just don't like this. Because the reasoning that I read about was they made a lot of money in Vegas, so we'll go back to Vegas, and it's just, like, change things up, you know, go to a different, like, people have been clamoring for WrestleMania to be in London. I get the hesitation there, because there's, time zones are an issue, you know, having, here in the States, having WrestleMania be at, like, 3 p.m. would be very weird, right? But, like, don't they owe, like, They owe Indianapolis a WrestleMania. Why not go there next year, you know? It's just... And it's like money talks. And that's like kind of annoying. Because they're doing it because of money reasons, you know? And apparently also, some TKO execs live in Vegas. Like, they... So it's just an easier commute for them. Which I guess is understandable, but it's also like, I don't know. If they end up in Vegas again, it's not the end of the world. They're in a big city 2 years in a row. Oh well. You know, but it's like, it kind of just feels like, it almost feels lazy that they're like, well, we can't go to New Orleans next year. We'll just go back to Vegas. We'll have the same venue. We'll, like, have the same set. Like, they better not have the same set, because that would just, like, you know, get, like, a new setting, you know. But whatever. It doesn't matter that much. What do you guys think, though? Anyways, moving on to the next topic. Avengers Doomsday and Avengers Secret Wars. Now, these two are, like, movies that the MCU is clearly building towards. The MCU is, like, rebuilding itself, you know, after some not-so-great movies. But we did get Thunderbolts, and we're also getting Fantastic Four very soon. And people seem excited for Fantastic Four. Thunderbolts was great. People love Thunderbolts. I really liked it. Fantastic Four is looking really great. It's looking really different for the MCU, and could possibly be the best Fantastic Four movie. Not a very high bar, but it's something, you know. But they're clearly building towards Avengers Doomsday and Avengers Secret Wars. Avengers Doomsday was set to come out, like, May 1st, 2026, which is 2 days before my birthday. And Secret Wars set to come out May whatever something in 2027. Not anymore. This comes to us from space.com. Marvel delays Avengers Doomsday and Avengers Secret Wars by 7 months each. As revealed by Disney on Thursday afternoon, Doomsday, starring Robert Downey Jr. as the villainous Victor Von Doom, will be pushed into next year's holiday season and arrives on December 18th, 2026, a little more than several months from its earlier intended launch date of May 1st, 2026. Likewise, Avengers Secret Wars will be taken off its initial spring showcase of May 7th, 2027, and given a frosty drop date of December 17th, 2027. And in a late spring cleanup operation amid the clutter of unrealized Marvel projects, Disney also wiped off some of its slugged-in release dates for untitled Marvel and untitled Disney features that fans could only speculate by removing ambiguous calendar spots. Okay. So, they were delayed, and yeah, it is unfortunate. First of all, like, Marvel always releases a movie, or, like, normally releases a movie, sorry about that, normally releases a movie in the beginning of May. My birthday is the beginning of May, so it's always like, oh, it's a new Marvel movie for my birthday. Look at that. And now they fucking did it. They did it to me. You're taking it away from me. But now Avengers Doomsday releases the same day as Doom Messiah, the third Doom movie. The third Dune movie. And that's interesting. One of them's gonna move, because that's two movies competing with each other with the same audience. Now, I'm not entirely sure why they delayed this, right? I would assume it's because there's just a lot that they have to do. You know, they're like, you saw the cast reveal for Doomsday, and just how big that was. And that's definitely not even the entire cast. There's still more chairs that they're going to reveal. Getting that whole cast together, like, you're going to need to delay the movie a bit, I feel. And obviously, you delay Doomsday, you're probably going to delay Secret Wars, right? You know? Sorry, I paused it. I kind of forgot where it was. I think I was talking about the fact that they have a big cast. But, like, okay. Now this kind of messes up the slate. Like, Phase 6. Like, we know Fantastic Four is the first movie of Phase 6. And we also know Spider-Man Brand New Day is gonna be in Phase 6 as well. Are the only movies in Phase 6 gonna be those two and the two Avengers movies? That is kind of weird, don't you think? I guess there's also Blade, but who knows when that's going to come out. And Armor Wars, who knows when that's going to come out. I don't know. But, interesting that they delayed these two movies. I'm sorry, I keep moving everything. But, interesting that they delayed these two movies. Now, Spider-Man Brand New Day is also going to come out before either one of them. And Doomsday and Dune coming out on the same day. One of them's going to move. They're not both coming out on the same day. You know, like, you're not going to have, and I think it might be Dune. I think Dune might move, you know. Just because, look, Dune might be a better movie, you know. Avengers is going to make more money. So, what do you guys think of all this? Now for finally, we got the final topic. Oh boy. I got a rant here. PlayStation. I love PlayStation. I want to make that clear. I love PlayStation. But they have been very questionable this generation. The main questionable thing for me is their pivot to live service games, which I never understood. You know, like, when they announced that, it never, like, made sense to me. Because, first of all, they announced that when live service games, like, there's, like, a certain period. Excuse me. There's, like, a certain period in, like, 2023, I remember, where so many live service games were shutting down. It's like, this one's shutting down, and this one's shutting down, and this one is shutting down. And then Sony announces that they're going to pivot to live service games. So that is odd. The other odd thing is that they also were like, live service games, you know, they're designed to have the player continuously play that game, you know, and basically only play that. So, by Sony making multiple live service games, you're competing with yourself. You know, a new live service game, that's coming out to compete with Fortnite and Overwatch. Overwatch kind of... When's the last time you heard about Overwatch? So, Fortnite and Marvel Rivals. And you know, Rainbow Six Siege and Valorant, you know? But, like, you have Helldivers, which I actually really liked Helldivers. That's like a rare W. We got Helldivers and Concord competing with each other. And look how well Concord did. Well, then their next, get into that in a minute, but their next live service game is Bungie's very own Marathon. And Marathon is an early PC game. This one's a little different from the other live service games in this slate, because they're actually using an IP that already exists. You know, you can say that about Helldivers, but who the fuck played the first Helldivers? Then again, who the fuck played the first Marathon? But either way, people are saying this is gonna end up just like Concord. At the very least, Marathon has, like, existed before, right? And also, the Concord situation was just so bad, I don't think it can ever get that bad ever again. Right. Well, maybe it has, you know? And to be fair, I'm talking, what I just said about something not being as bad as Concord ever again, I meant that, like, when a game comes out and fails that bad. Marathon's not out yet. But, this comes to us from, the GameSpot, or the GamePost, not the GameSpot. Report, Marathon delay likely as Sony cancels all paid marketing plans. And why are they canceling all paid marketing plans? Well, I would assume that this article is going to get into that. Bungie's Marathon is likely to be delayed as a new report claims Sony has now canceled all paid marketing plans. Bungie's upcoming shooter, Marathon, just can't seem to catch a break. What started as a highly anticipated closed alpha test has hit roadblock after roadblock, leaving fans wondering if the game will actually see the light of day this year. The studio was rocked by an art theft scandal when it was revealed that some of Marathon's promotional materials and in-game art were directly copied from an indie artist's work. Anti-Real, you know, that's the name of the artist. Bungie quickly apologized and promised to review all assets, but the damage was already done. Now, I'm going to stop that right there. You heard that right. And this is kind of old news, so I am a bit late to this. Luckily, Marathon keeps taking L's, which makes this still relevant. But they stole. They plagiarized art. They copied Anti-Real's art and put it in the game. And it's one thing if it's like, wow, that looks almost, that looks pretty similar. No, it's the exact same thing. And to, like, even more, like, to hit the nail even more on the head, I don't know if that was the right phrase to use, but whatever the fuck. Furthermore, there we go. Furthermore, the people at Bungie, specifically the people in Bungie's art department, follow Anti-Real on Twitter. So, wow, look at that. And Bungie says, like, yeah, we have fired the person who did that. I guarantee you it's not one person who does the art in the game. And if it's not one person who does the art in the game, it's not one person following Anti-Real. And on top of that, you gotta have people checking that stuff. So that went through many hurdles that it shouldn't have been able to go through. So that's that. I'm gonna continue reading. Following the whole art theft controversy, several reports have now painted a pretty troubling picture of what's happening behind the scenes at Bungie. Multiple sources say morale among the developers is in free fall, with many team members feeling frustrated by leadership decisions and the overall direction of the project. Some have even gone as far as calling Marathon's leadership, quote, toxic and humiliating to work with, saying that warnings about focusing only on PvP were brought up early on, but were completely ignored by higher-ups. On top of that, another report claimed that after the mixed reaction to the closed alpha, Bungie pushed back its marketing and pre-order plans that were supposed to go live in June, and the big open beta was replaced with public playtests. And then here it goes. It talks about Sony reportedly cancels all paid marketing for Marathon delay incoming. Now a report claims that Sony has canceled all paid marketing plans for Marathon. This confirmation comes from Colin Moriarty, who shared the news in the latest paywalled episode of the Scared Symbols podcast. Colin Moriarty, by the way, was the one who... He was the guy who reported Concord's possible $400 million budget, by the way. This reportedly came from someone familiar with the marketing efforts in an overseas market and is considered a fairly unusual move for a game of this high profile. And this is his quote. I was told by someone familiar with marketing plans in a key overseas market that there were are now no plans to do paid marketing for Marathon at all, Moriarty said during the podcast. I don't know if those plans were affected by what has recently happened or if that was always the plan or whatever, but it is considered a fairly unusual... So, okay, I just reread what the article said. Okay. It's almost definitely the reaction to the art theft stuff. Right? Because, like... And yeah, it probably also is, like, a reaction to the reception to the alpha. Right? But... I feel like Sony would have trucked along. The fact of the matter is, like, yes, okay, the art style doesn't affect the way you play the game, although I've heard that from people who played the game that it's not very good. But I feel like the fact that there was extreme art theft in this game, like, whatever, the fact of the matter is, there's a leadership problem at Bungie that allowed this to happen. And now, I guess they could pay Anti-Real for this, but they're not going to do that. They need to completely, like, rework the game. Like, they need to make it into some... Like, first of all, the live service is a bust. It's not going to work. This game's going to be dead on arrival, even with the Bungie name to it. Bungie are a shell of their former selves. And people are starting to think that Marathon just gets axed. Marathon just never comes out. Which is kind of crazy to think about, as it's supposed to, like, as of now, it's supposed to come out in, what, September? Something like that, like, late August, early September, or something like that. Or it might be late September. The number 24 is in my brain for some reason. So it's either August 24th or September 24th, or close to that at least. Right? So, it's kind of crazy to think about how they might just cancel the game when it's supposed to come out in like 3-4 months. Will they cancel the game? Normally in a situation where you have a game of this magnitude, like, this is a big game done by a big developer being published by a big publisher, and it's supposed to come out pretty soon. Normally I would say no, there's no way the game gets canceled. It just gets delayed and they rework it. But they might have to cut their losses here. I'm not saying that they are going to cancel it, but I think it's a higher likelihood that they will cancel this game than most situations like this. Because even if it wasn't for the art thief, or if it wasn't for the stolen art, I'm not entirely sure how this game succeeds. It has the Bungie name, You can even say it has the Marathon name, even though I did mention that, you know, Marathon does have some name value. It really doesn't. I'll say I did not know that Marathon existed before learning about this game. Right? I don't know what you do. I don't know what happens with this game. It definitely doesn't come out this year. If they canceled all their marketing plans, no fucking way it comes out this year. So that's that. We're not done, though. Because I mentioned, the reason why I talked about the fact that Sony has a whole pivot, a whole slate of live service games. Yeah, it was sort of like to segue into talking about I already forgot what it's called, Marathon. But it's also because that's not the only live service game that they have in the works, as they also have another game called Fair Games, coming from Push Square. PS5 PC live service Fair Games is a, quote, super clunky cross between Fortnite and The Division. And I think this is, like, after they played it. Fair Games, fairly known as Fair Game Dollar, the S was a dollar sign, of course, was announced along Sony's disastrous first-person shooter Concord. Okay, yeah. However, we heard that the developer Haven Studios' founder, Jade Raymond, a Ubisoft veteran who played a pivotal role in the early success of Assassin's Creed, had departed the company following a round of bad feedback. And now, courtesy of the latest episode of PlayStation podcast Sacred Symbols, there it is again, most information about the project is beginning to trickle out. Apparently, the pre-alpha was distributed via PSN under the name Project Hearts, enabling a small number of participants to go hands-on with the game. According to one of those people, it's a, quote, battle royale cross with an extraction shooter, with elements of both Fortnite and The Division present. Okay. But this is talking about how the game is. And I read a bit more, and it's not a very good game. But, yeah, I misinterpreted. So, that's the report. But, like, the big thing that I kind of just glossed over while reading that, Jade Raymond left. Now, she helped found the developer, Haven. And Sony bought Haven before they even made... Like, Fair Games is supposed to be their first game. Sony bought them before Haven even made their first game. Sony bought the company because it's Jade Raymond's company. And she helped develop... she helped with Assassin's Creed. She also was in... was with Google when they made Stadia. But then look how that turned out. That wasn't really, like, Jade Raymond's fault, the way Stadia turned out, but it is a part of her resume now. So, yeah, look, the Marathon situation is ugly. This is probably one of the ugliest situations I've ever seen, like, a big AAA game in. And the thing about Fair Games is that it's just bad. Their lead... The big studio head that Sony wanted to buy the company for is not there anymore. And also, like, there's no market for these games. Nobody cares about Marathon. Nobody cares about Fair Games. And it's just like... And you look at, like, this happened earlier this year... Like, this came out earlier this year. I didn't talk about it on the podcast because it was in, like, the weird period where I wasn't doing episodes. But, like, there was, like, a whole bunch of, like, canceled live service games. Like, obviously you had, like, we already knew that, Naughty Dog was working on Last of Us Factions and that got canceled. Insomniac was working on a Spider-Man multiplayer game that got canceled. apparently, like, Blue Point was working on a God of War live service game, and that got canceled. And it's like, what are you doing, Sony? Nobody buys a PS5 to play these live service games. Especially if they're gonna be on PC! You know? And why are you putting companies like Blue Point, and companies like Insomniac, and companies like Naughty Dog on these games? When they're best at their, like, single-player games. You know, Bluepoint, they want to make a new game. You know, they're really good at making remakes, but maybe they got a bit tired of that, so they want to make, like, their own game. Why would you put them on a fucking God of War live service game? We're seeing, like, how this pivot is turning out. They got one win. Helldivers. But, like, they also got Concord, you know? So it's like, that's a situation where it's like, Helldivers is one step forward. Concord is like 11,000 steps back, you know? This is messy. Sony kind of, like, wasted a bunch of their devs this generation on live service games that nobody was gonna play. And the ones that, like, they were gonna play, the ones that, like, Lazarus Factions, like, that could have gotten people playing, the Spider-Man one could have gotten people playing, God of War could have gotten people playing, even though I said, like, it's dumb that Bluepoint were working on that, but I, like, God of War's got a name, like, God of War's probably their biggest franchise right now, you know, so a God of War live service game, like, right there, like, that would have made money, at least. They all got canceled! So no one's gonna play them! So I'm still fucking right! Anyways, this whole thing's pissing me off. I don't know what happens with Marathon. I don't know what happens with Bungie. I don't know what happens with Fair Games. I don't know what happens with Haven. They all either come out or get canceled. And then Haven probably shuts down. And Bungie completely folds into Sony. A bleak future yet that might need to happen at this point. Anyways, that'll do it for this episode of DPX Talks for about an hour. Thank you for listening to me. If you're on SoundCloud, it's not just SoundCloud anymore. If you're on SoundCloud, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, anywhere you listen to your podcasts, go over to my YouTube channel, DPX Solo. Subscribe. I do content like this podcast. I also do like game reviews, movie reviews, TV reviews, top 10 lists. And I do my own solo missions. That's my own series. And I do some other stuff if I feel like it. If you're on YouTube, go anywhere you get your podcasts from. Go follow me. Excuse me. Anyways, that'll do it for this episode of DPX Talks for about an hour. Bye-bye.